May we hear God's word of eternal truth this morning. Not only was he writing to those early folks in the city of Rome, he continues to speak to our heart today as well. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and to deal with sin. He condemned sin in the flesh so that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit that dwells in you. May the Lord add richly to the reading of his word. We're going to be entering into a subject this morning that is very appropriate for April 20th, 2014. Jesus' resurrection. But at the same time, we're going to be talking about your resurrection. We'll look at what happened when Jesus rose from the dead, and then what does it mean for us? How does it change the way we live on a day-to-day basis? We do thank Dr. Rick Warren and his series that we've been following called The Son of God. And the very first thing we want to make known is that Jesus' resurrection shows us God's power. It's the very first thing in your outline there. If you want to take that down as a great indicator of where we're going today, we understand that Jesus' crucifixion shows us about God's love. Jesus' resurrection shows us God's power. It's the most powerful event in history. It split AD and BC. After Jesus died, the Bible tells us his followers wrapped his body in burial clothes, laid him in a borrowed tomb, and then they laid an enormous stone across the entrance. Jesus' opponents were worried, so they go to Pilate and they say, "This guy claimed that he was going to come to life in 3 days, and now we know that's not going to happen, but we're afraid that his followers are going to steal his body. So what we'll do, we'd like for you to permanently seal the stone in front of the cave so that it can never be opened again. Then we want you to post Roman soldiers to guard the entrance." So, pretty big security for a dead guy, right? I mean, it's a lot of extra work. Can you picture that? It's one of the few times, the only time in history, that we have guards standing to keep somebody from coming out of a tomb. Very different in the way we look at that. Not only did Jesus rise from the dead on the third day, but just as the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "Jesus showed himself alive to his disciples after his passion by many demonstrations. For 40 days he continued to appear to them and tell them about the kingdom of God." So, in these 40 days, what was the big deal? Why did Jesus take another 40 days roaming the earth? But he walked the streets of Jerusalem, and he wanted to make sure all those questions were properly answered. Is this just a hallucination? Is it some sort of a group dream? Is it a vision? Is it just some sort of apparition or ghost? Jesus was physically raised from the dead. And for nearly a month and a half, Jesus ate with people. He walked with people, had conversations with people, hugged them, touched them. He didn't just show up once. He walked these streets of Jerusalem. He met with over 500 people at one time. So it's not just something happening over in the corner that maybe a few folks are aware of it. In fact, as the historians tell us, within 20 years of the resurrection, over half of Jerusalem became believers. Some population would estimate around 200,000 and as many as 125,000 believers. How does that happen? Because there were people there that actually saw it with their own eyes. Romans chapter 1, verse 4 says this, "By being raised from the dead, he was proved to be the mighty Son of God with the holy nature of God himself." Jesus' resurrection shows us not only God's power, but also it proves that he is God. So that's the very next thing that I want to make sure we see, even before we see a video clip of the resurrection scene. Jesus' resurrection proves that he is God. He is exactly who he said he is. In fact, he said, "I'm going to prove that I'm God by coming back to life." It's an amazing truth, but it in fact is the hinging point of all that we do in the name of Jesus. Ephesians 1, 19 and 20 put it this way, "I pray that you will begin to understand how incredibly great his power is to help those who believe in him. It is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead." Or how about Romans 8, verse 11? "And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you." So, we're not going to just look at Jesus' resurrection, but also our resurrection. The power of the resurrection is available to all as we give our life to Jesus Christ. And that's what we're going to focus our time on. But first, we're going to take a clip out of the movie, The Son of God, that Roma Downey and her husband, Mark, maybe, put together and made a major motion picture release. And we will pick up the resurrection at this point.
Who are you looking for?
If you've taken him, tell me where he is.
Mary.
Teacher?
Go and tell our brothers. I am here.
The tomb is open. He's alive.
That's not possible.
I saw him.
Mary, maybe it was someone else.
You think I'm mad? Peter, see the tomb for yourself. Now, do you believe me?
But he's gone.
Gone? No. He's back.
Hey,
I need a cup and some wine.
What happened?
His body. His blood. I am the way. The truth. And the life. Blessed are those who have not seen me, and yet have believed.
We're going to look at the implications of this resurrection. What does it mean for us, this power of the resurrection for us today? The Bible promises that one day when Jesus returns to earth, that we're going to be resurrected from the dead too. Just like Jesus was, and that our bodies are going to be glorified, as the Bible calls it, just like Jesus' body was glorified. 1 Corinthians 15:52 puts it this way. It will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever, and we who are living will also be transformed. That's a glorious future hope. But in the meantime, while we wait for that day, what does the resurrection of Jesus mean for us right here, right now? And so that's where the next three items come in. The power of the resurrection is the power to start over. The power of the resurrection is the power to start over. Have we ever felt that we just like to have a redo? Instead of an easy button from Office Depot, could it just be a big old red redo button? And I'm not talking about just making a correction. I'm talking about literally, let's start the whole thing again. Well, that's exactly what the resurrection does. It gives us the power to start over. Maybe we feel that we've made too many mistakes, or we've missed too many opportunities, or we've ruined too many relationships, or we just think it's just too late. Maybe we feel a little bit like Humpty Dumpty. Life is broken. All the king's horses and all the king's men can't put us back together again. But there is some good news that we all get to hear. When Jesus Christ gives us new life, it's not a patch job. It's a fresh start on a brand new life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 puts it this way. Anyone who belongs to Christ is a new person. The past is forgotten and everything is new. So, God's saying, when you come to me, you give your life, it's like getting a brand new life. In fact, he told Nicodemus, you must be born again. The past is forgotten. Everything you've done that's wrong is wiped out. Everything is new. In fact, Isaiah 61:3 says, I will bestow on you a crown of beauty instead of ashes. It's a beautiful promise from God. Where there are areas in my life that I think they're just ashes, they're all burned up, God says, I'm going to take all the ashes of your past, and instead I'm going to give you a crown of beauty. Or how about the prophet Joel, chapter 2, 25. He puts it this way. God says, prophetically, I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten. Now, many of us have our own picture of what a locust is, but I think it was more in the line of what we call a grasshopper that he was speaking of. He's saying the stuff in our life that's been eaten up by these little insects that do so much damage, he says, if you come to me, I don't care how old you are or who you are or what you've done or how much you've messed it up or how much you've lost, give me your life and I can make the remaining years of your life more fruitful, more abundant, more worthwhile than all the previous years put together. He can make our life new. He can make our homes a new home. He can make our marriages new marriages. He can make our hearts new hearts. He can take our minds and make them new. Now, folks, that's good news. It's the power of the resurrection, the power to start over when we've really messed it up. A man was telling an illustration one time when he was a little guy. He was trying to build something for his mom and dad for Christmas. Wanted to make it out of his own two hands, so he went out in the barn and he got the wood out and he got the hammer and nails. I think that's what you need if you build something. And so yeah, he was starting to make this idea, and all of a sudden he realized what he was doing wasn't going to amount to anything. He just fell in despair in the middle of the barn and just started to weep. Well, his dad hears it, comes on in, and he says, what's going on, son? And the son says, I was trying to make something just for you and mom for Christmas. He says, but I've just messed it up. And the dad says an amazing thing. He says, it's okay. We're going to start again, and I'm going to help you this time. How much more so? That's exactly what our Father's saying to us. Go ahead. We're just going to start again, but I'm going to help you this time. So, certainly, the power of the resurrection is about us, our ability to start over, but maybe this is even more connecting to where most of us are. The power of the resurrection is the power to keep going. Some of us may find ourselves very much in this camp. Jesus says, I will not only give you starting power, I'm going to give you staying power. I'm going to give you the ability to keep on keeping on, the ability to keep doing what you know is right. It's the power of persistence, the power of endurance, determination, diligence. Or as Paul puts it in Philippians 4:13, my favorite verse, I can do how many things? All things through Christ who strengthens me. We respond, though, very quickly to that. But not, wait a minute there, fella. My problems are way too big for that. They're too heavy. In fact, we don't even have enough strength to face them, much less handle them. We may feel like giving up. Well, if so, it's a good thing we're here this morning, because God says, no problem is too big for me. If I can raise Jesus from the dead, guess where that puts your problems? No problem is too big. The power of the resurrection is the power to keep going in spite of the problems we're facing. So when we're faced with a challenge, or when we're faced with a crisis, or when we feel like we're too weak to keep going, what is it that we should do? We turn to God, absolutely. We communicate with Him, and we say, God, I need resurrection power. 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all your care upon Him. How much? All your care on Him, for He cares for you. And the word cast, I always picture that maybe as like the throwing of the nets kind of thing. You know, we're going to cast our nets or cast our reel. But it, more accurately, it just means to let go. That's what He's saying. You got to let go of your burden that's so heavy. You give Him your problems, every one of them. No matter how big or small, no matter what we in fact are worrying about. So, are you worrying about something? Well, if it's big enough to worry about, it's big enough to pray about. And to put it in the right perspective, cast all, not some, of our cares upon Him. And by faith, we receive His power to make the changes we need to make. The power of the resurrection gives us the power to start over. It then wipes the slate clean, and then it gives us the power to keep going. The power to handle the pressures and the stresses of life. And then the third area that the power of the resurrection gives is the power to finish life confidently. The power of the resurrection is the power to finish life confidently. God not only wants you to get started, He not only wants you to keep going, He wants you to bring where you have been to a successful conclusion. God speaks through the prophet Jeremiah, and He says, I know the plans I have for you. They're plans for good, plans to give you success and a future. God gives you the power to finish life, not with a whimper, but with confidence. A lot of people try to say we need Jesus because we might die tonight. And that's absolutely true. But we also need Jesus for more than that. We actually might live tonight. And we need Him when we wake up tomorrow to take on whatever it is that's getting ready to hit us with both barrels. Christ is the one whose power gives us the ability to confidently finish life. How many times, and how do we know that folks really have this issue of finishing confidently? Over and over again, we've heard these words uttered out of so many people's mouths, and in fact, our own. It's two little words. Actually, one's a hyphenated word, so maybe it's three. Anyway, I'm tired. Have you ever found yourself saying those words? Or, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired, right? You know, we have that idea. It's, what is the remedy for tiredness? It's our connection to God's power. It means we're actually relying on our own power, and we're not relying on the power of the resurrection. So if we're going to summarize what God's power is in one word, it's from a great board game that I played very much when I was a little guy. L-I-F-E. How do we spell God's power and His resurrection? It's life. The resurrection of Jesus Christ gives us real life. Until we know the power of resurrection, we're not really living. So try this out for a cycle of life. You get up in the morning, you go to work, you come home, watch TV, and you go to bed. You get up in the morning, you go to work, you come home, you watch TV, you go to bed. And then you get up in the morning, you go to work, you come home, watch TV, and go to bed. And then maybe you might do something on the weekend, certainly not involving church, but something on the weekend, and you say, boy, this is living. Well, that's existing, and it has nothing to do with life. So, this real life, I'm going to hit you with three dimensions, and I promise we're not going to let the turkey burn today. The three dimensions of life, how does it look like? What can we have? What are we promised through God's Word? We can have a new life. Because of the resurrection, we can have a new life. Our old life is gone, a new life has begun, but that's not the end of it. Not only do we have a new life, we have an abundant life. John 10:10. Write that next to an abundant life. John 10:10. I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly or to the fullest. And what's that mean? It's not talking about physical abundance. Jesus said a man's life doesn't consist in the abundance of things he possesses. It has to do with real joy, real peace, real love, the fruits of the Spirit. The power of the resurrection is the power to break bad habits that keep us down, that are tying us down, that to overcome weaknesses in our personality, those hang-ups that we've been trying to get rid of on our own. Jesus says, I will give you a new life so that you may have it to its fullest. So, we get a new life. We get an abundant life. And we also get an eternal life. Just as we can confidently finish because of this eternal life. It's God's retirement plan for His children. Jesus says, I'm not only giving you the power to get rid of the regrets in your past, the power to live in the present, but I'm going to give you hope for the future. I'll give you eternal life. For a believer, death is not the end, it's just a transfer. When we die, we're not leaving home, we're coming home, or we're going home. We're going to where God wants us to be forever and ever. It's good news, the gospel, that we don't have to live on this planet in the state it's in for the rest of eternity, where there's all this sadness. Experienced any sadness this week? Sorrow, sickness, sin. How about prejudice, injustice, racism? All those things are a part of this broken world. But we are made for far more. We are made to last forever. So you can finish life confidently because you know you're going to spend eternity in heaven with Jesus. So here's the deal. New life, abundant life, eternal life. It's the best news on the planet. And that's what the resurrection is all about. It's the power to start over. It's the power to keep going. It's the power to finish confidently. So, how do we get the power of the resurrection? It's not a big complicated formula. It's not something that we have to look at over and over again. Here's the deal. We receive it. We receive it. We don't earn it. We receive it by faith. And in fact, even as we prepare for our closing hymn, as the opportunity for us in order to commit ourselves to Christ, it is in that sense that we get to pray this morning. Let's bow our heads together today. First, I'm going to pray with you. And then I pray that you would even pray with me. Jesus Christ, I thank you that as we've looked at the most powerful event in history today, the power of the resurrection, that power is available to us. And Lord, how many times do we go through life not plugged into the power? How many times are we like a blender that's not plugged in, or a vacuum cleaner, or a radio? We have the capacity, but we don't have the power. I pray that today we will plug into you again, and we'll do it by getting into your word on a daily basis and spending time with you. And I would ask that each of us, if you choose to pray this prayer in your heart, in your mind right now. First, God, I know I lack power. I need to make changes. I want to make changes. God, there's stuff in my life I don't like. There are habits. There are hurts. There are hang-ups. There's grief. There's guilt. There's grudges that I can't seem to let go of. And frankly, God, I don't always have the power to do what I need to do. And so I admit I have a power shortage. And I need your power in my life. And I thank you, Lord, that same power that you use to raise Jesus Christ from the dead is available to me. And so today I want to plug into that power. I want to do it on a daily basis. I thank you, Lord, that you've said that you have not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. So I ask you to fill my life with your power and with your peace and your presence, and help me to stay in tune with you, talking to you daily on a moment-by-moment basis. So I stay plugged into you. In Jesus' name I pray this. Amen.